broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for October the 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is Hour 202, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website for the show. Archives, show notes, a whole lot more there for your listening / reading enjoyment. A lot of times folks go there, check out the notes. If they hear something they want to drill in on, they listen to the broadcast in archived format at their fingertips always. Searchable archives of the show available there as well, so check that out. LibertyRoundtable.com, a donate button if you want to get involved would be most desirable and appreciated, if you will. If you want to email us, you can do that there as well. So, you know, just a website to serve you, LibertyRoundtable.com. Also, we have LibertyNewsRadio.com, which is not only Liberty Roundtable Live, but other well-known talk shows as well. And Liberty News Radio has a schedule of all the different shows. Not only the show's live times, but the rebroadcast times. There's a way to email us there and, of course, donate there as well. And a way to listen live there. So check that out, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Third website, LibertyNewsDaily.com. And the LibertyNewsDaily.com is our award-winning news service. We release about 10 to 20 stories a day, Monday through Saturday. So 6 days a week do we go ahead and release stories. We don't release stories on the Sabbath. You know, we kind of think we ought to just take a break and keep the Sabbath day holy. And so that's what we do on Sunday. We don't do news stories. But 6 days a week, we get her done. So anyway, there you have it. Thought that was important to bring to your attention too. So LibertyNewsDaily.com. And of course, there's a donate button there and a way to, you know, share the stories and spread them. And, you know, we have an interesting copyright for our show and our news and all that we do. You have the right to copy. Please do. Kind of a strange copyright, but there it is there. Last hour, we talked about all kinds of things. Tax cuts for all. Tax hikes for none. That's a Rand Paul press release of recent times. Mike Lee and others helping with that. I'm sure Judge Roy Moore, as soon as he jumps into the Senate, will be on board with that as well. We really need Ben Carson and many other people in the Trump administration to stand up and create accountability here. Donald wants to reduce taxes. But we've got to be very careful about what plan we enact, because if we're not careful, what you'll have is Republicans pitted against Republicans as the civil war in the Republican Party continues. You'll have Republicans pitted against Democrats, as both sides of the aisle tend to do. You'll have the inside swamp monsters battling with the rest of us, as they typically do. And so you got to be very careful here, and you got to work on solutions that are beneficial for all. And that's going to be really, it's going to require a lot of us to eat a lot of humble pie. A lot of us to really think about what's best for everyone. And I think Kurt hit on it last hour best. We need to really look at getting rid of the IRS entirely. We really need to look at getting rid of all the taxes, all the different, you know, ways they can tax us. And we really need to basically jettison all that and jettison all the special loopholes and complications of filing and invasion of personal privacy and all these kind of things, and just jettison that and create maybe a very tiny transaction tax. That's certainly one way to go about it. Another way to go about it is just abolish the IRS. And as Glenn Beck asked Ron Paul, what would you replace it with? Nothing. Why would I need to replace it? The goal is to reduce taxes, not increase them. And I would simply say we need to make sure that we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, as our guide as we determine what taxes are acceptable and which ones are not. See, some taxes are more unconstitutional, and some taxes are appropriately constitutional. The more direct the tax is, the less it's constitutional. The more indirect the tax is, the more constitutional it becomes. Now, that's not 100% explanative, but it does point out the realities here. That's why the federal government can put tariffs at the borders. That's why transaction tax work, because they don't personally attack you. We need to be very careful to make sure that we tax the spending side of things, not the income side of things. Why? Because then if things aren't going very well, you can be very frugal with your money and you can let your portfolio grow in America without it being taxed on the income side. But when you're doing well, you know what? Taxing it on the spending or the transaction side, not a bad idea. So there's ways to go about taxes that are indirect. There's ways to go about taxes to make them constitutional. There's ways to go about taxes that don't violate personal privacy. There's ways to go about taxes that really tax everybody basically equal. There's ways to go about taxes to make sure that everybody pays something. Look, the defense of the freest country in the world benefits everybody equally. Everybody should pay something for that. There are legitimate ways to go about appropriate taxation. And I do support the proper role of limited government and taxation. But what I insist on is constitutional taxes. What I insist on is indirect taxation. What I insist on is the taxes that are codified in the Constitution is legitimate. And I resist all other efforts. The other thing I really want to make very clear is not only would I deal with taxes and reduce taxes, but you got to focus on the spending side of the equation, too. If you just cut taxes, that's not going to do any good. How are you going to pay for it? Fair question. The answer is you're going to rein in government. You're going to reduce the size and scope of government. You're going to reduce your expenditure side of the equation as well. And you're not going to use this idea of essential or non-essential services. That's a vague term that we can debate till the cows come home. Not only is it a vague term, but it really leaves open the discussion of where does government properly belong? And it does not, in my humble opinion, properly address that question with a reasonable answer where you can decide with confidence, with comfortability, with an understanding of where that line is. I draw the line between offensive and defensive government. When government's on the offense, it's bad news, folks. When government's playing a defensive role, it's good news. When government does something that benefits us all equally, it's great news. When the government pulls the lever of one group in favor of another group, it's bad news. So there are some principles, some guidelines, some kind of litmus tests that you can put these things through to kind of get an idea if you're for it or not. Hey, does it specify it in the Constitution? No. Oh, okay. Is it direct? No. Good. Is it indirect? Yes. Great. Is it beneficial to all, whatever we're going to tax to pay for? And you jettison this, you know, essential versus non-essential government services scenario. And you embrace a scenario that's a little different, which says this. Is it the proper role of government based on constitutionally delegated guidelines? If the federal government has responsibility for it based on proper delegation from the consent of the governed, which is we the people, to carry out a given defined delegated task, then you say, okay, it is constitutional. So I submit to you what we do is we fund all constitutionally delegated services and we reject all others. If it's constitutional, we're going to fund it. And if it's not, we're not. How do you know that? Well, you use a lot of the guidelines I just highlighted, but you also then say, if you're going to put together a constitutional expenditure, then I want you to cite chapter and verse in the supreme law where you get the authority to do that. And if you can't find it, then good luck. If you can find it, then at least you're documenting your justification. I think a lot of those things would go a long way towards truly reining in government expenditures, cutting taxes for all, tax hikes for none, and truly setting forth guidelines about how we can reduce expenditures in relationship to decreasing the inflow of governmental finances, and a way that you can know if something's appropriately funded and justifiably so, or the contrary, or not, if you will. And I lay this out in a single radio segment because I believe if the Donald Trump administration, if the, quote, economic wizards or experts, if the members of the House on both sides of the aisle, the Senate on both sides of the aisle, the gubernatorial realities across the land, the governorships, the state legislative bodies all the way down, from the local county sheriff, that's the top office in the land, if you will, one of them anyway, down to the federal government, the lowest office or the most distant of offices in the land, using the checks and balances of the state and the federal dual sovereignties, in other words, checks and balances between the states and the feds, using the proper limited guidelines given to the federal government defined in the Constitution, using the checks and balances at the federal level between the judiciary, the executive, and the legislative, I think we can draw some real fine lines and lay out some real understandable, proper rule of government initiatives that would change the game forever towards the benefit of the people, towards more money in the pockets of the American family and less in the hands of government. The family is the fundamental unit of society, folks. We need to make sure that we reward the family, that government plays a defensive proper role of making sure that the family is protected in life, liberty, and property, and that contracts are honored, and that the American people are safe. There's a lot that can be done, but it takes some honesty, some morality, and some hard work to get there. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Walk right along, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, we got more stories, more commentary, more God, family, country-centered reality radio than anybody on the planet. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. If you'd like to fund us, we'd certainly be grateful. LibertyRoundtable.com. Every penny counts. This is the Widow's Mite Radio Network, if you will. And I'm telling you right now that your help and your financial support is absolutely essential and greatly appreciated. All right, Kurt, what do you want to focus on here? Any tidbits in the news? I guess Harvey Weinstein's melting down, as we all know. But it turns out his brother Bob was kind of a, I don't know what you call these guys. Pervert, Kurt?
Well,
is that what you call him?
At least I don't. I mean, I guess it's he didn't fall too far from the, tree or whatever.
Well, they're brothers, you know.
Yeah, it's too bad, huh?
Yeah, and you're just gonna. They say that the Holly Warp scandal is just beginning. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little bit two way on this or divided on this, Kurt, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And the reason that I do is because I think it's wrong for anybody to sexually harass anybody. I personally believe that, we need to think about God's law when we discuss this. And that is that, thou shalt have no sexual relations except for a legally and lawfully wedded husband and wife. One man, one woman relationships only within the bounds the Lord has set. Now, I think if we, follow that admonition, we don't have any problems. And it's one of the most blessing one of the greatest blessings in people's lives, to have that appropriate relationship. It's designed, ordained of God. And as I mentioned right before the end of the last segment, family is the fundamental unit of society. And we really got to think about that when it comes to taxes, or when it comes to this, you know, relationship thing or whatever. I think it's wrong when anybody sexually harasses anyone. I think it's wrong when anybody rapes anyone. I think it's horrible, and there's no excuses for any of that at all. And so these men should be taken to task. But you know what? This cover-up culture that we've had for so long is part of the problem. And women have been part of that cover-up culture as much as men. Now, they would say it's out of fear, Kurt. But I don't agree with that. And don't get me wrong when I say I don't agree with that. I'm not saying that some women are not in fear and are not scared. They are. But there are people who have tried to stand up, and they've been barbecued by the system. Okay, that's kind of the problem, is that when you stand up, well, what made the difference? And why does this come out now? What made the difference of when, back in 05 or whatever, some people were bringing this up and everybody laughed at them and mocked them and literally ruined their careers over this? It wasn't, quote, time. And now all of a sudden this comes and it's top news, top billing. What's the difference? And who allowed this to happen? I don't know. But I'm telling you, it's this culture we're talking about. And women are guilty as much as men. In fact, some women are the ones that have allowed Harvey Weinstein's, you know, abuse to continue, as far as I understand. Women were helping kind of gatekeep and manage that and deal with settlements and things behind the scenes to ensure it didn't spiral out of control. Women were at the helm. These so-called, you know, women's rights women, too. These feminist women that were, okay. And so women are part of this culture, too, Kurt, in many ways. And I'm not in any way justifying the horrible acts that have been committed. What I am saying is it's not just a man's world and a man's scenario. It's both. And I also want to say that, you know, how do we have this discussion without talking about the real solutions, which is God's guidelines on sexual relations? How do we have that? Because, you know what? One man's view is another man's consternation. In other words, I might feel horrible about something, but you might say it's just fine. And a woman might say that's just fine. And somebody might say that's just the way it is. And, you know, we get into this relative discussion where whose views matter? Unless we appeal to a God, the author of liberty, or an absolute morality setter, if you will, it's all a relative discussion, Kurt. What do you think? Is it possible to have this discussion and leave God out of it? I don't think so.
No, it's, it's got to be part of it. But, so much of society wants to leave him out, and that's exactly right. According to money.cnn.com, now there's close to 40 women who have come forth, Sam, on this whole Weinstein deal. It's just signs of the times, I guess you'd say. You've got top actresses and even actors involved that are given him a pass in the past. You mentioned the Bob connection. I don't know a lot about Bob, the brother, apparently, but so much of this has just gone under the radar since these guys would fund I guess you could say what the Insider Boys really liked being funded, and so
that's right,
that's why they got a pass so much.
But I would say it wasn't just funding, it was a whole cultural acceptance. In other words, there were women that were literally helping shut down the opposition and conduct payoffs, and there were women at key positions of this that were not only scared to say something so they didn't, but literally on the offense making this happen. There's literally a culture in Hollywood that allowed this to happen, because I'm telling you right now, you got enough actresses and enough women in high places, Kurt. If they wanted to blow the whistle on this, they could have done it. And if you say they couldn't have, then my response is, how can they now? In other words, what's changed? How could they not then, but they can now, Kurt? Any answer for that?
Well, and you've got this recent passing of a guy named Hugh Hefner that I think is connected to this kind of story.
It's a good point.
This guy was the big shot Playboy guy, Playboy Mansion, that so many people would just give a pass because it's like a business or whatever. But the bottom line, this is against God's law. This is not the way he wants things. And, we've given so many of those things just like it's the okay deal simply because it was cool or whatever, but it's debauchery and it's terrible stuff, Sam.
Well, it brings about the retributions of the almighty author of liberty, that's for sure.
Well, that's exactly
right. Now, I want to bring up, though, how do certain people get a pass and certain people get barbecued? So you got Bill Cosby getting a beating, but you got Bill Clinton, no problem.
That's right.
And you got Harvey Weinstein getting absolutely slaughtered, but Donald Trump having no problem. What I mean is I don't see how sometimes it, you know, makes the big fall for somebody, and sometimes it doesn't even seem to affect them at all.
Well, as far as I can tell, you know, at least let's just talk about the Bill Clinton, Bill Cosby thing.
If you want to talk about me, I'd love it. Every time you talk about me, I just thrill inside.
You know, Bill Clinton, for me, has, I believe he and Hillary have basically a long list of, what would you say?
Body counts?
All that. And they have a whole bunch of data, real or made up on individuals that they use to basically say, hey, if you do this, you know, like with the Lynch.
Yeah, so they got a big, long list of blackmail capabilities that keep people in check.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, but I think you've got a point, though. But there is a difference in selective enforcement of some people get taken down and others don't over these kinds of things, right?
Well, yeah, I just don't see it.
I mean, for example, back in the day, what got Clarence Thomas in trouble? But hey, Hollywood's just rolling right along.
Yeah, and I see that, at least in my opinion, this Weinstein thing, I don't think any real problem is going to happen here for the guy. What's going to really, he's going to say, hey, sorry about that.
Don't worry, he's in a sex addiction clinic now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He's getting help, you know?
And, you know, I don't think there's any real retribution or real payment that he's going to make. I mean, his company continues on. They keep making movies.
They kicked him out so everybody feels vindicated.
Yeah, I just don't see any real payment for that. Just like you don't see anything with.
But how does Weinstein or Weinstein, whatever, I don't know why it's Feinstein and Weinstein, but whatever. I don't understand how this guy gets taken down over it, loses his company or loses control of his company that the founder of. He melts down. He goes into a sex addiction clinic, and Bill's just running around, though. I don't understand that, except for the point that you made of, hey, it all depends on what leverage you have in the culture wars, you know, for your cause. But, I mean, there's other people that have been taken down, and, you know, how does Anthony Weiner, or whatever the guy's name is, Weiner, whatever, how does this guy get taken down?
Well, do you think it's really a takedown of him? At least in my opinion, he gets so little of what he really...
Well, there's not accountability, but there is exposure.
What he really deserves. The guy, but all that's going to happen is he'll be famous and all that stuff even more.
Yeah, but some guys lose their positions and other guys don't. So Weinstein's out, Wiener's out, but Bill, it didn't remove Bill at all.
Right.
Wasn't even out.
We give him presidential secret service protection.
I certainly appreciate that. It always helps with some of those trysts that I go on. You know what I mean? Appreciate that. All right, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. It was widely billed as an important meeting between a group of NFL players and team owners, but a lot of people say the outcome left a lot to be desired. First, only 11 team owners were present. The meeting claimed to have produced a constructive dialogue. The real issue that led to the meeting was really not discussed. That's, of course, the disrespectful attitude toward the flag and the national anthem by many of the players. As reports continue to circulate about the North Korean regime of that vicious dictator, he is preparing to test a more sophisticated intercontinental ballistic missile that could be capable of striking anywhere in the U.S. and the rhetoric is accelerating. The Korean defense minister now indicated that the war with the United States is imminent. This type of rhetoric has been used before by the North Koreans, but this time it's being taken rather more seriously as weapons capabilities increase. The U.S. military is continuing to move more and more assets, more and more ships and planes and personnel into the area. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low delay, crystal clear audio over the internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, I've got an answer. You know, we always talk about Republicans this, Republicans that, and Kurt comes back and says, what is a Republican? I think Kurt's spot on that point. What is a Republican? I think I've got an answer to kind of solve that, Kurt. What do you think of that?
And the answer is?
Well, the answer is you put words that denote what kind of Republican we're talking about.
Wishy-washy Republican.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an example.
Yeah. All right.
But the folks over at Campaign for Liberty, like John Tate and those guys,
yeah,
have started to do this. They may not realize they're answering your question, but I bridge the gap. Their point's well taken, that all you got to do is call Republicans certain things.
Yeah.
And so they call them swamp Republicans, Kurt.
There you go.
And that way, now you can know, like, you might call them the Freedom Republicans or the Freeman Republicans or the Constitutional Republicans or whatever word we want to use for our guys. Mm-hmm. The Great Again Republicans, whatever. But the Swamp Republicans are in the news, and John Tate's warning about them. See, this is how this works. And now when you say, well, what is a Republican? Well, Kurt, we're talking about the Swamp Republicans. That's who we're talking about.
Yeah.
What do you think of that idea?
Parties within parties.
Well, kind of. Groups within parties, maybe, but
yeah,
there's no
factions,
parties yet.
Whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, factions, for sure.
All right.
Now, the reason I say I hesitate about the parties within parties is because there's not any special privileges given to a certain group within a party, per se. There is special privileges given to parties, and that's kind of the distinction. Now, Swamp Republicans Betray Trump is the headline. Sent by John Tate, Campaign for Liberty and crew over there, Ron Paul and those guys, doing a great job calling them swamp Republicans. It's a big fiasco about health care, Kurt. Did you see this one?
Nope.
All right, send your email.
All right.
And there's a big thing about health care where they say basically that, look, swamp Republicans are going to betray the Donald on health care. And so what's happening is that Donald, as you know, put forth some executive orders to, what do you want to call it, gut health care? To back off the executive order belligerence of Barack Hussein on health care.
Yeah.
And he says, look, I'm not going to fund some of these health care scenarios that violate the law. And I'm going to back off and say that the mandates for health care are going to be reduced and the opportunity to sell health care across state lines are going to be happening. And so he's done his very best to walk a fine line and issue an executive order that rolls back Barack's activism executive orders, but doesn't cross the line in terms of making law himself. And I think he's really done a good job of articulating this, and Rand Paul and others have helped to say, look, we're rolling back regulations, we're obeying the law, but we're allowing freedom with this executive order. We're not making new law. And we've been very careful to make sure that we're not making new law. I really appreciate their attention to the detail there and their efforts to not violate the separation of powers there. And I think it's really well done.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bring this all up, though, to say that while Donald's doing that, there's Republicans, the swamp Republicans, that are undermining this effort, Kurt.
Well, this piece or this email coming to you from the, you know, folks at Friends or Campaign for Liberty, they call them, I guess, AmericasLibertyPack.com is another source there. But calling them, it says, swamp Republicans betray Trump, urgent. They say, Sam, swamp-dwelling Democrats and liberal Republicans in Congress are out to sabotage President Trump.
That's another great term. Just start calling them the liberal Republicans, Kurt. Yep,
there you go. Out to sabotage President Trump's push to repeal Obamacare. And he says, it's up to you and me to stop them. Just last week, President Trump ended illegal subsidies Barack Obama used to entice health insurance companies to remain in failing Obamacare state exchanges. They underline highly this next sentence. They say this freed taxpayers from propping up Obamacare and gave Congress a golden opportunity to finish it off once and for all. But yesterday, they say Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, announced he struck a deal with Democrats to once again burden taxpayers with Obamacare's failure and prolong America's Obamacare nightmare. The piece from the Liberty PAC says, there are 1,000 reasons I could list why Senator Alexander and his betrayal typify everything wrong with Washington, D.C. But he says, I'll save
now,
that
Kurt,
for
we
later.
Got an affiliate down there in Memphis. Anyway, we want to say to them, no dissing on you. We love you. But you know what? Your senator's out of control here, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, good point. He says, but I'll save that for later. For now, I'm counting on your immediate action to expose and shut down the D.C. swamp's scheme to save Obamacare. He says, you know, Senator Alexander's deal with the Democrats is the latest attempt in the last few months by liberal establishment Republicans.
That's a great term.
That's right. And Democrats to compromise and leave Obamacare largely intact. You know, anyway, the bottom line is some folks are waking up about it. Huh?
And I appreciate Campaign for Liberty and John Tate and those guys over there, you know, emailing us and making sure that we're aware of it. And so what's the bottom line then? What are they trying to do then? They're just trying to make a deal with the Democrats, which would do what? Undermine it and fund what Donald defunded? Is that it?
Well, that's what I see, you know, because if you combine your forces, if you will.
Meaning the Democrats and the inside liberal Republicans.
That's right. Then you can keep things the way you want them or change things. It's all about the votes. But John Tate,
it's not only all about the votes, although I think that's the end of the day, but it is about the arm twisting and the backroom dealing and things that are being exposed here too, right?
Well, that's right. Good point.
I just bring that up because right now it may not be votes yet. It's they're trying to get votes and the backroom dealing that they're trying to do to put together this, in my opinion, betrayal, right?
That's right, Sam. Good point.
You got this goofball down there in Tennessee trying to, you know, engineer the betrayal, if you will.
Lamar Alexander.
Wow, what a guy, huh?
Good point.
What a piece of work. Anyway, I guess in another Campaign for Liberty news story, Kurt, George Soros is now tied to Planned Parenthood. Did you see this?
Well, I thought he was tied to Planned Parenthood forever ago.
Well,
anyway,
Kurt, just because you and I have been reporting something for decades, that doesn't mean that it doesn't take others a little while to get there. But now they're going to be investigating Planned Parenthood's ties to George Soros. The Soros money that is flooding in to Planned Parenthood reveals the true nature of this organization's radical, hostile, pro-death agenda. We must demand that the FBI look into this and to look into Planned Parenthood's practices. Please take action today, writes Campaign for Liberty. God bless. Oh, Matt Staver. This is Liberty Council reporting this one, I guess. Anyway, they got a petition on it. All right, I guess this one isn't Campaign for Liberty. This is Liberty Council on this one. But I commend Matt Staver for, you know, focusing on this. You and I have known about it for a while, but more and more folks are starting to realize the reality on this, Kurt.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's nice to see the good folks that we've known forever continuing to work and moving things forward, pushing the envelope, if you will, the envelope of freedom and liberty and openness and transparency, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's nice to see. Now, I wanted to bring up this one piece, Sam. I know we've got some time here before the break. The headline from the Wall Street Journal is, "A comedy show thrives by avoiding vulgarities such as the word gosh." Subheadline.
Wait a minute. They're not avoiding such as the word gosh. They're avoiding vulgarities by using things like gosh.
Well, they don't even use gosh. It says, Studio C, a sketch comedy troupe out of Brigham Young University, has become an internet sensation despite, or perhaps because of, its super scrubbed brand of humor.
Now, by the way, I would submit to you that it's because of.
That's right. It's a Wall Street Journal piece, pretty big one here. Bradley Olson is the author.
By the way, good for WSJ to report this and make it go even more viral.
That's right. Conan O'Brien and his family were out to dinner. Now, Conan O'Brien's not part of Studio C, by the way. He's a guy that uses other, you know, what they call blue humor, which means swearing and bad words. It's, you know, the fancy way to say that.
Could I say that's black humor, Kurt, or would that be really bad?
Well, probably illegal, you know.
We're allowed to mock the Blue Lives Matter cops in this, but we're not allowed to point to the blacks in
this.
Yeah,
good point.
By the way, black has nothing to do with somebody's race. I'm just saying, usually dark things, dark humor, is that what they would call it?
Yeah, good point.
Can you do that? Can you say that would be dark humor?
Well, sometimes they would say darkies about certain things. You know,
this is getting weird fast.
But anyway, Conan O'Brien and his family were out to dinner, according to Wall
Street
Journal.
Don't they call that off-color humor too, Kurt?
Yeah, they do. They were out to dinner, and his daughter began to screech, "Oh my gosh," not gosh here in that case, but... you know, the host, Conan O'Brien, said he thought a Cessna just plowed into the sidewalk or something like that. But guess what happened?
Well, talk about it in seconds. Cliffhanger we're supposed to put if we know how to do good radio, huh? LibertyRoundtable.com on your favorite talk station.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party, and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Find a game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to wind up more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. And it's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get. And so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. 4-20-2-11 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free Vigor Score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So we're talking about the Brigham Young University produced Studio C, a very, in my opinion, rated G, maybe PG at best. Kind of a comedy series put together, doing a great job avoiding all the dark humor, off-color jokes. I don't know if you're allowed to say those things in the racist environment that we find ourselves. Nevertheless, that's been the standard idea. The negative humor, the immoral humor, whatever word you want to use to describe this. But they avoid that like the plague, and they're taking the internet by storm. And now what Conan O'Brien's daughter kind of screamed out an obscenity using God, in my opinion, in a very, well, don't take the Lord's name in vain kind of way. And folks freaked, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right. They were there at dinner in Santa Monica, and you know, Conan O'Brien said, I thought a Cessna had just plowed into the sidewalk and burst into flames. Then he says, my son started to freak out, and he was like, they're crossing the street, they're crossing the street. Then the article from the Wall Street Journal continues and says, the source of the pandemonium was the arrival of what Mr. O'Brien's children deemed some bigger celebrities, you know, even than him, I guess.
Well, if he's your dad, anybody else is cooler, right?
That's right. A few mild-mannered Mormons. The late-night TV
host. You know, I like
host,
that term. We're a peculiar people, mild-mannered Mormons. That's pretty good, right?
That's right. The late-night TV host, who soon took a picture with them, recognized them as the stars of Studio C, a sketch comedy show out of Brigham Young University. They say that Studio C has achieved sizable popularity on the internet, despite or perhaps because of its super scrubbed brand of clean humor, such as a skit about a soccer goalie named Scott Sterling, who accidentally and agonizingly blocks shots with his face. They say working.
See, and by the way, in my opinion, that stuff can be very funny.
Yeah.
I think people really like it. I think people find it refreshing. I kind of take a little bit of an issue with the super scrubbed idea.
Well, it says,
and I'll tell you why, Kurt. Because you know what? Yesteryear in America, that was the standard. Now they're acting like it's a little bit over the top, kind of crazy, but okay, kind of an idea. I want to really kind of acquaint us with our history here and say that used to be the standard. You used to not even be able to say pregnant on TV to make my point.
It's a great point. They say working blue is out of the question for this comedy troupe. BYU, run by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has ranked as the nation's most stone-cold sober place of higher learning for 20 straight years, according to the Princeton Review. Wow, Sam. Amazing, huh?
Stone-cold sober. And then you got people basically that have scrubbed humor, mild-mannered people. Could you imagine that in today's society, Kurt? Kind of a weird deal, huh? I think we need more of that, personally. And this is kind of what we talk about on the radio, as this should be the standard. This should be the way society is. And the only issue I have, I love the story. I'm glad Kurt brought it up. I think it's worthy of highlight and note. It's noteworthy, to say the least. Especially when Studio C, this, you know, little BYU show that we kind of think is regional or local, if you will, kind of becomes an internet sensation and goes viral. They're thriving by avoiding vulgarities. And, you know, hitting the Wall Street Journal, that's pretty significant, you know. But we bring it all up because I think this should be the standard. And rather than kind of saying they're whitewashed or they're, you know, extreme kind of attempt at clean humor or whatever, years ago in America, even in the 1950s, this stuff would have been normal. And the agendas of some of the main networks that have, in my opinion, vulgarity-laced, I don't know what you'd say, efforts for fame or radio or TV or whatever shows. You know, you think of the Howard Stern shows, what comes to mind to me is why I say radio. You look at that and you kind of go, why are we painted as over the top when we stand, you know, set the standard back where it used to be? And it's not kind of pitched as over the top, these vulgarity laced realities or these sexually explicit efforts. Why are they not over the top? Why are they not pitched as kind of the outliers or the crazies? Is it really that society has shifted so much to the where the culture thinks the super scrubbed cleanliness of a Studio C is the peculiar and the norm is the other way? Is that really what the culture feels, or is that really what Hollywood teaches and expresses to the point where we buy into that lie? That's kind of what I want to know, because I'm convinced that, you know what? Culture is becoming much more coarse. Culture is becoming much more hostile. The environment is becoming very, very dangerous, very divisive, very hostile. But I don't know if it's really that's what it really is in culture day to day, or if that's the way it is in the mainstream press or in the mainstream entertainment or the mainstream Hollywood industry. See, it doesn't surprise me in Hollywood, where there's a very warped culture, a very perverted culture of sexual harassment, that everything on their minds and everything in their TV and movies and everything they do, everything they create and perpetuate would be perverted as well, because that's their mindset. Whereas I believe the big cities might have a lot of this too, and I believe culture is not where it used to be for sure. But I still believe that, you know what, in most of America, there still is a desire for decency. There still is a desirable for honorable. There still is a desire for, as they would term it, the quote, super scrubbed stuff. There still is a rejection of the immoral, of the salacious, of the, what they're calling the norm today. I still think it's not normal to people. People are still shocked and uncomfortable by it. And I think we really need to keep that in mind as we battle in these culture wars, because I agree Holly Warped is way off the charts. But I still believe most of society, even the guys that might tolerate and accept some of this salacious stuff, I think that all it takes is a good guy or a good gal to stand up against it and say, I'm not doing that. And I think that this Studio C taking the internet by storm, and Conan O'Brien and the Wall Street Journal and others now talking about it, I think it really highlights that this is sought for, that this is desirable, that people innately have a desire to return to the norm of modesty, of morality, of super scrubbed, if you will, which I wouldn't call super scrubbed at all. In fact, TV used to be super scrubbed. You couldn't even say pregnant on TV, and I bet Studio C might say pregnant to make the point. But I really commend Studio C. I commend their leadership. I commend Brigham Young University and their stone cold sober running total of 22 years is the most stone cold sober school in America. And people that are Mormons and non-Mormons alike, sorry about that, non-Mormons alike are seeking for a safe college experience. And they're seeking out schools that are known as the stone cold sober schools, like Brigham Young University. I've had some non-Mormons call me lately and say, hey, does BYU allow non-Mormons to attend and stuff like that? And I think that's wonderful news. But people are seeking for this super scrubbed. People are seeking for this safe environment where there's not sexual harassment, where there's stone cold sober, where there's not drugs and alcohol and rape and perversion. Now, I'm not saying that there's never any bad actors at Brigham Young University or places like that. There's bad people everywhere, folks. But I'm telling you right now, where there's a difference in culture, a difference in dress code, a difference in expectations, a difference in standards, and a difference in experience. And people are seeking for this. That's why Studio C's gone viral. That's why we highlighted on Liberty Roundtable. That's why the Stone Cold Sober School makes the top list for 22 years or makes top of the list for 22 years running. People realize this. And it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for you to decide what you're going to focus on. We need to build our own institutions. That's why Liberty News Radio exists. That's why Liberty News Daily exists. That's why Liberty Roundtable exists. We need to build our own cultural institutions that set the standard, that return the bar to the founding fathers era in the first 100-plus years of the United States in terms of morality. We need to return to that standard. And Americans are seeking for this. And it's time for us to fill the void. And so Liberty Roundtable, Liberty News Radio doing this. Hey, we don't swear on the radio. We don't promote things in a salacious fashion. We certainly talk about difficult subjects in the culture war. We certainly talk about God's law when it comes to the procreative power or sexual relationships, and about all sex is promoted except for God ordained between one man, one woman, physical relations. But we do so in a very appropriate, family friendly manner. And we do so by setting up the standard God has set. And we do so by putting things in these contexts that I believe make sense, that I believe is the way America was. And if we're going to make America great again, we're going to have to return to that moral standard again, to that bar being set quite high standard that was set. That's what we need to do. And I bring this up because we're doing a great job at this. There are many other organizations that are doing a great job of this. And Studio C getting the limelight, justly so, in our humble opinion, for doing just that. I commend Studio C, and I commend the Wall Street Journal for highlighting this, for covering it. And I commend all those who are helping Studio C become an internet sensation, because that's where we're going to start to make a difference. That's where we're going to start to gain ground in the culture war. That's where we're going to start to provide alternatives and opportunities for folks to cut their cable and say, nope, Studio C is just fine for me. Nope, Liberty News Radio is just fine for me. And for Americans to decide with their dollar, by boycotting the salacious and embracing the, quote, super scrubbed, if you will. I commend them. Great work, folks. Great find by Kirk Crosby to highlight that story. We're grateful to be part of positive news that networks refuse to use in ways that restore America. Make America great again, which means to make America moral again. In our view, the two are synonymous. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. Get involved and donate today. LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. Get involved, would you please, and tell the tale of liberty everywhere you go and help us promote God, family, and country. We declare, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? We declare this nation's